Jeremiah said God's coming would be like fire, separating out all impurity. Jesus says this is what he has come to do. He will be the cause of unhappy divisions because of those who fail to recognize the signs of his presence and his kingdom. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 49. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to Christ,
in the name of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Words I repeat from the gospel. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Generally speaking, I enjoy preaching. It's a great privilege. Not only because I'm able to stand up here about 3 feet above contradiction, or I hope above contradiction, but because it gives me the opportunity when preparing to give some thought to the scripture passages of the day, and hopefully to suggest to you and others how those words may make a positive contribution to our understanding of our faith. But note my opening words, generally speaking. For I have to admit that there are passages that not only challenge me, but cause me to wish that it was someone else's turn to preach. Perhaps Canon Walter or Karen or someone else. And that certainly applied when I read the gospel passage for this morning some days ago. I quote again the words of Jesus. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, not peace, but rather division. I ask myself, and maybe we ask ourselves, what on earth are we to make of those words? For it is not the Jesus that we are used to, and probably it's not the Jesus we want. For there's not much suggestion of peace and goodwill in the passage we heard read this morning. I'm even more disturbed when I realize that some Christian people take those words literally. Critics of the words I've quoted will suggest, and I understand what they're saying, that we have more than enough division in the world. For let's face it, we're divided socially, racially, politically, culturally, religiously, to name but a few examples. Some of you here will remember the ministry of Bishop George Quinn. He was my bishop, and I think probably Canon Walter, your bishop, in the early years of ministry when I served as a curate and in my early years as rector in Gilnehirk. Bishop Quinn was a very affable person who related to other people easily. His years as bishop were characterized by a diocesan campaign of renewal. And a feature of that campaign was the opportunity extended to clergy and parishioners to meet people from dioceses in England. There were particularly close relationships established with St. Michael's in the Belfry Church in York, whose rector at the time was a very charismatic figure, David Watson. On two occasions, I spent a week with families in York. I found the experience helpful and indeed in some respects enriching. St. Michael's was a very dynamic place, located next door to York Minster and attended by hundreds of very committed and enthusiastic people, some of whom had little background in the Anglican Church. It was the sense of spiritual urgency that appealed to those people. Most of that was good. However, one lengthy conversation with one of my hosts disturbed me, and the contents revisit me from time to time. I asked him about his extended family, his brothers and his sisters. And his response, "I have little to do with my brother or sister since I became a Christian." As I inquired further, he admitted that he couldn't consider as his brothers and sisters in Christ those people, and therefore they were not part of his family. Now, possibly his views were influenced by some past associations with an exclusive religious group. It was certainly not part of the core teaching of the church to which he belonged in York. And that affirmed in my mind, and ever since, I suppose, the real danger of quoting the scriptures at random, and the wisdom of the advice, in the words of one of our better known collects or prayers, that we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. There are, I believe, and particularly here maybe in Northern Ireland, there are far, far too many expressions of what I'll call bibliolatry in our society, worship of a book, and not enough willingness to accept that the scriptures have to be approached with an acknowledgement that the Holy Scripture is challenging us to examine the contents responsibly and critically in what is a dynamic and changing world. And that brings me back to the difficult words of this morning's New Testament gospel passage. "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but division." It was not the express purpose and mission of Jesus to spread division and turmoil. If it was, I would not be here in this pulpit. If it was, I would not consider Jesus to be a mentor. On the contrary, his purpose was to foster peace and harmony in a divided world. And his parables make that very obvious. But Jesus did expect his disciples to stand up and be counted. You must take up your cross and follow me. Christian discipleship in the first centuries was not a soft option. Throughout the Christian year, we acknowledge those who were martyred because of their loyalty to Christ. In every age, people have had to face a real challenge which could affect the quality of their lives, adhere to the principles of our faith, or set integrity aside in pursuit of selfish desires and interests. One of the reasons the Roman authorities hated the first Christians was because they chose to place the directives of God above the diktats of Caesar. And you know what? That did tear families apart. Perhaps in very exceptional circumstances, loyalty to Christ has to take precedence over the dearest loyalties of this earth. Maybe my host in York was making that suggestion. Whatever difficulties he had with his family, and that was a long time ago now, I trust they were sorted out through a spirit of reconciliation. So today's gospel may be disturbing in nature. It is for me. It makes it clear that much as we may wish otherwise, the elements of judgment from the message of Jesus Christ remain stubbornly in evidence. That message may divide, it may disturb, reminding us that life can be full of tension. But the gospel, which makes us accountable for our actions, proclaims that ultimately good will triumph over despair and over division. And for that reason, however difficult we may find the words of this morning's gospel passage, we must persevere in running the Christian life, knowing that with Christ, who warned his disciples of the problems facing them, with Christ, all things for good are and indeed can be achievable. So to God be the glory, to the Lord, now and forevermore. Amen.
Love is kind and can suffer long. Love knows no envy and thinks no wrong. Not proud or selfish, love knows no spite. Love thrives on truth, on all that's right. Love is kind and can suffer long. Love knows no envy and thinks no wrong. Not proud or selfish, love bears no spite. Love thrives on truth, on all that's right. Sometimes despair